So we're going to start with hearing scripture together from Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your ancestors' house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. And now we get into some verses that are just like details about companions and places they went, whatever, whatever. We're going to drop back in for a second at verse 8. There, Abram built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A story. Many years ago, Harold Goodenough was pastor of a small congregation in the Rio Grande Valley, and there his ministry influenced and inspired a young woman. At 30 years old, one Sunday, this woman was baptized into the faith and became a member of the Methodist Church. At that time, she was pregnant with her second child, her only daughter. That woman's name was Bobby Dunson Jones. Her only daughter was me. Like most kids, I was frequently asked, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" My first answer was always ballet dancer. You know, gracefulness, beauty, making meaning with their bodies. My second answer was always rich person, philanthropist. Because you could do so many things for so many people in so many ways. And y'all, I cannot honestly remember the rest of the top five. I mean, probably things people expected from a girl of my generation. Years passed. Surprise! A pastor. I stood here as your new associate, and soon after that, Kathleen Jones deployed me to Madison, Wisconsin, for training as a Bethel Bible teacher. Now, there's no actual bloodline between Kathleen and myself, but our kinship is strong. Now, Kathleen said to Bobby Kay, "Go from your country and your kindred to the land that I will show you. Harley Swiggum will bless you and make your teaching great so that you will be a blessing." Harley Swiggum. It's his name. Created the Bethel Bible series, which preceded our Disciple Bible study by almost three decades. He was born and raised in a small Wisconsin town, weekly church with his family. As a teenager, he drifted from his faith, graduated from high school, was drafted into the Navy near the end of World War II. He was sent to Saipan, where he read the only available thing to him, which was the New Testament. It was given to service members by the American Bible Society. As he read, he realized his teenage disillusionment was not toward the Christ of Scripture, but against the way Scriptures had been distorted. Sound familiar? Now, Harley went on to college and seminary, was called as an associate pastor at Bethel Lutheran Church in Madison, and in this role developed the Bethel Bible series. Kathleen and other educators became involved in that, and I was sent. Harvey had trained a core group of disciplined, high committed people, and then he used their gifts to train the rest of his congregation, an experiment with 28 mushroomed into hundreds, then thousands, and when it hit the Methodists, well, we just took it on from there. Because you see, there is a never-ending need to address the way scriptures have been distorted. Amen. Now, I'm sharing with you my own journey toward the Bible. I hadn't even read it all the way through when I went to seminary. Don't judge. But my first semester taught me, you know, Moses did not write the first five books of the Bible, and other fun facts. Then one night, underneath us, in what used to be the library conference room, I was teaching Bethel Bible, a disciplined high commitment approach indeed, and as I approached the lesson, I turned to my index flashcards with the scriptures and themes on them and read Genesis 12, blessed to be a blessing. And that, beloveds, was the moment I understood. It was revealed to me that while neither ballet dancer nor rich person, I was a philanthropist. Of whatever good came my way. And in that moment, I, like some religious folks I disdained, I too had a life verse. Genesis 12, blessed to be a blessing. The story of Abraham emerges several generations after Noah and the flood. Basically, humanity, again, was a mess. Corruption, incivility, violence. God intervenes by calling Abram and his descendants to, you know, do better. Abraham's name was originally Abram, which means exalted father. But exalted father and wife Sarah were barren. The late Walter Brueggemann says the couple's barrenness stands as metaphor for humanity. Barren, when not producing the goodness we are meant to embody. Maybe you, like me, still see corruption, incivility, violence. And my God, we are zero generations from a flood. There are, I reckon, few within the sound of my voice without direct connection or one step away from utter devastation. Inundated and overwhelmed, reeling and feeling, and from other states and other countries, other faiths and none, other politics and none, humanity flooded in to search, rescue, recover. Just using who they are and what they have for what God needs done out there. And that is the embodiment of Genesis 12. Blessed to be a blessing. Even cynical, critical, grouchy old me can see it. people choosing to break out of their routine to do good in the world, choosing to help, choosing the humid, hot, hard, and holy work still being done. Can I choose to believe that no matter how barren the goodness the world seems, or our lives or life circumstances may feel, there is yet a promise? Does Scripture have anything to say about what God intends for me? I will bless you, so you will be a blessing. And together we journey on by stages. Every one of us made a journey to be here this morning. Every one of us with God's calling on our life. God's blessing surrounding us in the past supports us in the future. God's blessing, our comfort in days gone by, can be our courage in days yet to come. Nadia Boltz-Weber recently wrote, "As a people of a story, we can have one hand reaching back to touch the hope of the prophets, and one hand reaching out to the promised redemption of the world. And in this posture," she writes, "we are open and vulnerable to the present. But the present will not crush us." Maybe my favorite Bible story is that we all can find our stories here. Harold Goodenough, blessing my family. This congregation, blessing me. At annual conference last month, my nephew Todd was commissioned probationary deacon at the same service John Hathaway was ordained. This is the way. Blessed to be a blessing. True gratitude, said W.E.B. Du Bois, shows itself by passing the gift joyfully on in larger and better form. Spiritual teachers of every generation have known exactly that. The psalmist, the Apostle Paul, John Wesley, Harley Swiggum, Kathleen Jones, on and on, the legacy you are building here. Because in this room right now, God is calling some to Bible study, maybe even to teach. Maybe even to stand up here with John and Kathy and me. Because, you know, apparently there's a never-ending need to address the way Scripture is distorted. Amen? So why have a favorite or a life verse? Well, I would say because, like in contemplative prayer or meditation, or yoga, or other practices, when we are distracted, we return to our breath. Returning to a story, a verse, it brings us back. I love Genesis 12 because it claimed me. Right downstairs. And it is both gift and task. Genesis 12 imagines a story where we do better, where children are not washed away in a flood, neighbors are not captured by masked and violent men, where the names we call each other are a sign of our love for one another, where nations do not lift up sword against nation, neither do they learn war anymore. Where on earth as in heaven means we love as God loves us, where our blessings are understood as a resource, an energy with which we bless others, all the nations of the world, even more than we could possibly imagine. Ephesians 3:20. Now to the one able to do exceedingly above all things that we ask or imagine, according to the power working in us. This means I work too. We work too. And that, beloveds, that's my favorite. Amen.